Welcome to the Tech People Podcast. My name is Ken Coyne. I'm your host and founder, as well as an ambassador for Ops Talent. I believe at the heart of any success story are the people who made it happen. Diversity, creativity, and innovation, where nurturing people can lead to an unbeatable formula. I created this podcast to share the experiences of some truly inspirational leaders on their journey to success. Enjoy the show. Hey guys, welcome back to Tech People, the podcast where we explore the human side of technology and business. Today, we're diving deep into the fascinating world of company culture and generational dynamics with a true industry leader, Jocelyn Greenkey. Jocelyn's extensive career spans over 40 years, working with everyone from Fortune 500 joints to innovative startups. She's a renowned business strategist, author, and speaker with a unique perspective on how to build thriving, inclusive workplaces. In this episode, we'll explore the evolving landscape of company culture, the challenges and the opportunities of managing a multi-generational workforce, and how technology is shaping the future of work. Jocelyn will share her insights on fostering effective communication, promoting psychological safety, and creating a culture where every generation can thrive. Get ready for a conversation that's both insightful and practical as we uncover the secrets to bridging the generational gap and cultivating a culture that empowers everyone. Let's get started. So welcome to the show, Jocelyn.
Hey, thanks for having me, Ken. How are you?
I'm very well today, but I always enjoy talking about culture and getting different insights from different people and their experiences. I think it's a fascinating topic. And I do believe people are the key and culture are the key to success in any organization. So really looking forward to our chat today. But before we get there, it would be good to learn a bit more about you and your background, please. Maybe you could just share with the audience a bit about you.
Sure. I'm an award-winning author. I wrote a book called The Big Sister's Guide to the World of Work, with the second one coming out soon. I hold an MBA, adjunct business school professor, and I have worked for the last 40 years and never not worked, even through the children. And I have held senior positions at the world's largest magazine publishing company called Hachette Filipacchi, and Atria, which was formerly called Philip Morris, and worked at Colin Cowie Lifestyle, which is an event management company, and HBO, Wall Street Journal, and a lot of family-run businesses of small to medium size to help them transform their business from, you know, average income to healthier operations and more revenue. I live in Greenwich and have a combined group of six children. And so I've worked with all ages, all cultures, not all, but many, many cultures, and definitely all generations.
Fantastic. That you do sound like you've a lot of experience and across various industries also.
Yes.
Which is very interesting. So talk to us about, you must have seen, obviously, significant shifts over your time working across these different industries and different companies and company culture. What stood out to you? What were the changes that you've seen, you know, concerning like the generational differences?
Well, it's the first time in human history that five different generations are working together. And, you know, because of the advances of medical technology, and people are living longer, working longer. And the biggest things that I see are the conflicts between the generations that you might not see outwardly, but I know for a fact that they're there. It's what people are thinking in their heads. And it's really important for people to know, if you're a CEO or you're an assistant, whatever that is to how to communicate and work with other people of other generations so you promote a really good reputation for yourself as an employee or an owner. So the intergenerational challenges are critical. They're not just from a, you know, human resources perspective either, but they're from a leadership one. And knowing how to work within different, you know, generations, regardless of the culture, is really critical.
Okay, great point. So based on that, in your experience, then what would you say are like the strong, you know, universal principles for building a culture around this?
Well, you got to know who you're talking to. So if you're talking to somebody, you know, differently. So X, Y, Z, and then there's the military. They also have their own style. And then there's the traditional and the baby boomers. So each person, each group has a different way of wanting to be spoken to. So we know that the Zs, which is the younger group, is really focused on video and visuals. They grew up with the iPhone. They grew up with streaming. So they know that everything is a visual. So they don't, you know, that's why everything is so, I don't want to use the word dumbed down, but bullet pointed, short, small pieces of email, and they love to text. I personally think that texting can be really, really good in a lot of cases when you're saying, I'll meet you at 3:30 in front of the, you know, the building with the white thing on it. But when it comes to like actually solving a problem, you got to get on the phone because you're missing out on the tone of voice and, you know, miscommunications can happen. Then all of a sudden somebody doesn't like somebody else. So the X generation really likes email. So that means that when you're sending something, you know, you really have to, you know, in email, be very clear. ChatGPT is around to make that stuff clear, that there's no spelling errors, that, you know, the use of the language, whatever language it is being used properly. And then the boomers, people who are, you know, 60 to late 60s, love face-to-face. Now, face-to-face can be Zoom, which is great. I mean, you know, people get sick of Zoom, of course, but face-to-face, always in person is always better because then you really get a sense of how the other person communicates. That goes for everybody. If you can do face-to-face, that is literally the best thing. So when the communications break down, the relationship suffers. And if relationship suffers, operation suffers. And if operation suffers, revenue suffers.
Better.
So the other really big thing is that because women often live longer, there's going to be a lot more women over 50 in the marketplace.
What's the impact of that?
The impact of that is just being able to take into account that women who are empty nesters like myself have a lot more time. So they're coming to the workplace with a load of experience, very dedicated. Normally women are. And it's just something to consider when you're talking to and you're communicating with other people. I would always advocate to find a core of commonality. So if somebody is a personality that you don't particularly love or like, finding something that you guys can share in common will take the burden off that unease feeling inside. So if you both love chicken recipes, or you both are runners, or, you know, art enthusiasts or photographers, you know, use that as a way to open up a conversation and explaining something to somebody else, using that core of commonality to make your point. Okay. And make the other person feel a lot better.
How about the whole, you know, we've moved now very much to remote working. And well, I can see it coming back again, definitely, but not everywhere. How about the challenge of remote working and getting people to come into the office, and also, you know, videos, for example, people don't want to turn on the video for a text. I mean, how are you working on this or overcoming these kind of challenges in terms of culture?
Well, you have to say, you know, whoever's running the company or the division or that boss has to say when you come to a Zoom, you know, videos on with no exception, except for, you know, you're sick or something. Like, you have to actually put a standard operating procedure in place that people know when they're working with you, new employee, or update a handbook about the office, you know, operations and how those things work. They have to be on video. Now, getting people back to work is, you know, of course, a tough call, but if the owners put the gauntlet down and say, you got to go back to work, changing your perspective of that it's going to be a really good thing is going to be helpful. And I think that going back to work full time, there's a lot of benefits. You're not alone. You get to start working socially with other people, which is always a benefit. You know, we all know the downside, which is commuting, money to commute, the loss of time commuting, working with people you don't really love. But if you change your perspective, and if that's what, you know, the company wants, that's great. And maybe you can negotiate 3 days a week in the office and 2 days off. But I don't suspect it's going to last forever. I think it's a current trend. And if the statistics show that people really are outputting just as much work at home, and that's where they prefer to be, and they're still doing amazing, I don't see why they have to, you know, come in all the time. But coming in 1 or 2 days a week, it, really, you guys, whoever's listening, it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised actually, because with the younger generation, I think it's important that they do come to the office because, you know, they need to learn. They need to learn not only just, you know, reading and listening, but also visually, you know, how meetings are taking, how you do innovation, these aspects. But a lot of young generation, like you mentioned there, it's texting. They don't want to do the visual aspect of it. They don't want to come to the office, which I'm surprised at.
Well, there's a lot of benefits for it. And if more people want that, then they have either they come or they don't work. Or what they do is they have to take jobs that don't require them to be there. And that might mean switching careers.
Which is a major change.
Which is a major change. So being like in the service industry. So for example, a waitress, you know, and somebody who does calls on behalf of a company, like a call center or customer care, that type of thing. You'd have to switch if that, you know, if the boss wants people in, that they want people in. And one of the reasons, besides socialization, that people want them in is that having foot traffic around an office building helps those local businesses that surround that office building.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it's not just that. It's not just the socialization. And there's many different reasons they want it.
But it's good. You touched on the point as well while ago about, you know, older people like the face-to-face. I'm not sure what generation. I forget it because with all these different generations, like I'm 47. Is that an X? Is it or Y? Or I'm not what generation I am.
But you're,
I like, what am I?
What year are you born?
77.
77. You're Generation X. That's exactly right.
X. So I like to pick up the phone. You know, just pick up the phone and call somebody and talk to them. But, you know, often, which I find frustrating, is they don't answer the phone, which is fine. I might leave a message or sometimes maybe not. And then I get a text back.
Yeah.
And I said, just pick up the phone and call me back. Right. And when you got missed call, just call me.
Right. Well, listen, I can describe the X generation. Most X generations were people who started out with the single parenting. That's when the divorces started to really hit in. And a lot of people from that group, right, where kids were coming home alone, they had to fend for themselves when they got home and really tried to figure out where they belonged because they're, you know, had to figure it out on their own as they were home alone. And they're huge multitaskers. So they do multiple things. And basically what Generation X people want from the other person is to hear their voices. They want to be heard. They want to hear their thoughts out. And they want freedom to work with very little supervision. Like they can do it. Just let them go do it and they'll be good. So, you know, they're also expect immediate feedback and they're happy to give feedback to other people. So, you know, it's working smarter, not harder kind of people. I love working with Generation X, but I know what to expect and I know what to the type of feedback that they need so they feel comfortable with me. That's the key.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, you mentioned some strategies already, you know, in terms of managing multiple generations, but maybe could you just go back and just, you know, just clarify some of the strategies for, you know, fostering effective communication and collaboration, I suppose, between the different age groups, please, Jocelyn.
Oh, yes, sir. Okay. So for Generation Z, they're all about me, me, me. Everything is about their work, me, me. Did I mention me? You know, there's approximately 70 million of them, at least in the States. And they're born 1997 to 2012. And they love instant gratification. They thrive on acceleration. Obviously, they're native to social media. They're actually very collaborative and creative, but they all are about me. So their feelings are hurt a lot. You have to be very careful of how you express yourself because you don't really know how they're going to take in that information and then turn it into how it affects them. So they lived through 9/11, the recession, they lived through terrorism, they've had a bit of war, and of course they grew up on Facebook. I would say that Generation Z are not team players. They're very self-directed and they're independent. They want to be left alone.
Okay.
They really like that good, you know, life-work balance. So I'm a boomer, so I don't know about life-work balance because I didn't grow up like that. Yeah, I didn't work like that. In the day, everyone worked, you know, 70 hours of work because that's what expected. So now the Generation Z folks don't see that. And moving on to millennials, those guys are born 1981 to 1994, and there's about 72 million in the States. Very ambitious, very optimistic, very patriotic to their country, and extremely impatient. They have a massive short attention span, and they're very achievement-oriented and culturally and racially tolerant. So they're looking for a mentor, which I call a board of advisors these days, and they constantly need positive reinforcement from their boss. It makes them feel comfortable in knowing that they're in the right direction. And this particular group is plagued by student debt, so they worry about money a lot. You know, they worry about, you know, shootings. They live through OJ and Diana's death and Oklahoma shooting. I mean, it's pretty dramatic, terrible events they live through. They're very informal. They're busy. They're short attention span, which I mentioned. And they expect change ethnically and racially divided. So if you are working with folks who are millennials and you are a company that gives back, you know, to charity, like every dollar that comes in, you give 10% to a charity or something, they love that. And they know that they're a part of a community and they're creating something really meaningful in their lives. So that's who those guys are. Generation X, we talked about. The baby boomers, we know that face-to-face, and they consider the fact that they've worked for a company for 10 years, or they put in 10 hours, that that's their value. So their ethic is actually based and measured in hours that they've performed for a company or a division or consulting. So in their case, actually, it's less important on productivity, but the fact that they were honorable and showed up for the meetings and were there to be trusted and to be relied on. The relationship is the key for them. So very free-spirited. They basically distrust government. They distrust the company, how things are performing. They're stressed in a way because they're going to have to be working longer. And how is that going to happen? And they're the ones who created that term workaholic. And I am the queen of that. And then there's the folks who are the traditionals or the silent generation. Of course, those are the older folks over 70. I actually work with a few of these people, and they're unbelievably wealth of knowledge. They speak very slowly. You really have to have patience and make sure you hear them out. Of course, they're not technically proficient like a, you know, somebody who's a Z, but they're really into the waste not, want not, noble, patriotic. And what they're looking for is simply respect. And they're looking for encouragement and just structure. And the last group are veterans. You can imagine they're very on time. You give them a task, they bring back the task, they ask the right questions. They're not often emotionally involved. You know, they just want to get the job done. They're very, very easy to work with, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not easy to work with all those different generations. And also, you mentioned there was a good point, it was about the technology aspect. And you mentioned ChatGPT also previously. I know you've got a lot of experience with automation and AI.
Yep.
And obviously, this is obviously must be having a big impact now on the new, you know, company culture and its dynamics. Could maybe talk a bit about that also, please, Jocelyn?
Well, there's two ways to look at that. One is working with somebody who really can't write. And then I say, you know, gently, you might say, listen, any emails that go inter-office or any emails that go out to clients or vendors or third parties, whatever, it really has to be in proper, you know, I'd say English because we're in the States, but whatever your country is, it really has to be done formally as whoever's writing that is representative of the company, of the brand of that company. Use ChatGPT, put your thoughts in and say, please put this in a proper formatted question, you know, for an email, copy, paste. Then there's a lot of AI tools that companies are using to platforms within the company to help the workflow go easier. And it takes time to understand how those AI programs are going to work and then get trained on them. Now, here's the thing about intergeneration. It's not bad if somebody younger was the mentor to somebody older, or somebody older, which is typical, to go younger. But when it comes to technology, training is the key, and it needs to be repetitive, and you need to let people do it themselves once you train them while you're looking over the shoulder. But ChatGPT for communication is amazing. And of course, there's the free version, and then there's the $20 a month version, and there's different versions all over the web. There's lots of different types of ChatGPT people can use. But it's a shame if people don't use it if they know they're not great writers. And there's great AI products that help you, you know, create idea generation for your boss, for your clients. As we all know, ChatGPT is scraping the web, so they're coming from everywhere else. And it really gives you like a basis to move yourself forward and give you a positive reputation.
Yeah, no, I do. I must say, I do find it excellent. It's actually, there's one other point I wanted to go back there. Previously, yeah. You mentioned about Generation Y, I think, and the team players that don't like to be team players. But if you got a culture of like working as a team and, you know, building as a team and as a team culture, how do you bring those people on board then?
You have to have an advisor to the group, and you have to have somebody who basically says, here's the ground rules of working together. So the ground rules are no calling, no swearing, no yelling, no this, no that, no taking things personally. If there's a problem, come to me. And because that group, people sometimes misunderstand something and they do take it personally. I often do that in a group setting. So there's another person. If for some reason somebody is not re-explaining, no, nobody was trying to get you, that wasn't a personal thing, and the group leader isn't explaining it in a way the other person can hear it, the third person can help out explain that. I also use a technique called mirroring. So let's say Ken, you and I are having a miscommunication, and I'll say, what I meant to say, and the point of what that conversation was so and so. And then I will say, you'll say, oh yeah, I understand. And then I will say, if you could kindly tell me and mirror back to me what I said, so then I know that we're both on the same, you know, plane, and okay. Understand. Yes. And then I understand. The critical thing to do is to look at that person's face to make sure that they're saying that with sincerity and authenticity, that they really do understand versus maybe mocking the other person just to get off the phone. You got to be careful with that.
Okay. I get it. You have to read the situation. So, yeah, no, definitely. You have to read the situation. So you've also, I know you've written, you mentioned there, you're an author and you've written the Big Sister's Guide to the World of Work.
Yeah. That book was a result of me working for 20 something years. And I literally didn't understand why I was putting in 50 hours a week making X and somebody else was working 30 hours a week and earning that much more. You know, they don't teach office politics in high school or college, which is crazy to me because we all spend most of our life working. So wouldn't it make sense, you know, for people to understand how to establish relationships and how to establish trust? So the book is very do this, don't do that. Or if you do this, this is something that might happen. And if you do that, this result, like why would happen? So it's meant to be very for people who are working, either newbies, people switching careers, or people just who have questions like, why isn't this working out? What am I doing wrong?
Okay. And, you know, for business leaders, I mean, what advice would you give to those guys besides buying this book of, you know, just basic advice on how to deal with the different generations, just to maybe get some.
Oh, how to do it. Well, you really have to understand the style and, you know, work with somebody like myself who can guide you. And so what I personally do is listen on calls and part of meetings so I can hear the tone. I can understand exactly what's going on and not taking it, you know, as the leaders, not taking it personally. But because the relationships are the foundation of every business, it is really critical because I tell you for sure, if you have more than a few different generations in any one company, there is resentment, like never listens, always wants to talk about themselves. You know, there's all that private conversation going on in somebody's head. There's no one thing to do other than to start taking notes about the personalities and also to consider what somebody is personally going through. You know, somebody's getting divorced, somebody who is, you know, raising a child by themselves. If there's, you know, elderly parents who are sick, I mean, there's a lot of facets that go in to make sure that the communication across any culture, any generation's going smoothly. It's kind of complicated, but, you know, the more you practice and the more you're actually listening and watching what goes on between people, the better off you'll you know, the better, the more positive outcome it'll be.
Okay. Well, Justin, listen, thank you for your time. Really interesting discussion. If anybody would like to reach out to you, what's the best way?
Oh, great. Yes, please. Info at Sider Road, which I-N-F-O, at S-I-D-E-R Road. So there's two R's in the middle. You can always WhatsApp me on at Jocelyn Greenkey Underwood on WhatsApp. And you can always text me, 917-887-8175. And, you know, I'm the type of person in your back pocket to help. You know, just want to make it better.
Fantastic, Jocelyn. Listen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Ken. You're such a lovely person. Thank you so much.